Serving with gladness into his courts the song. Lamb that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now am found. Was blind, but now I see. 'Twas grace that taught my heart to fear, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. Through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Wow, thank you, brother. That was a blessing. Amen. Yeah, I sometimes wish we could all know each other's. You know, I watched J.R. Weddle sing Amazing Grace, and whether you know it or not, that man is an example of God's amazing grace. I mean, he really is. I don't know if you knew him when he was younger, and if you did, don't tell anybody. But the grace of God, brother. Amen, brother, I tell you. I don't know where you're at this morning, but the grace of God can find you and change you, and it's amazing. It's just it's amazing. All right, let's go to Luke chapter number 14. That was good. I can't preach after that, then I'm just a mess. So, Luke chapter 14. We're going to talk about the Great Supper this morning. The Great Supper. The Great Supper. That's a pretty risky title to be choosing at 5 after 11 on a Sunday, but I may have lost you for the rest of the morning now. That's what I'm going to be thinking about, Brother Jerry, the Great Supper. Let's all stand. Luke chapter 14, verse number 16. Now here is a parable, and what we have to understand is that when Jesus was teaching a parable, what he would do is he would tell a story, and within that story would be hidden spiritual truths. He's told his disciples one day, he said, I do this on purpose. He said, because the people that have spiritual ears will hear the spiritual message. And those that are coming for the wrong reason will just go right over their head. And you say, well, my goodness sakes, I don't know. Why did he do that? Because he was Jesus and he was wise. And you know what? He understood that there's going to be people that come and want to hear the truth. And there's going to be people that come for all kinds of other reasons. But you know, the Bible said, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And if you'll tune in your spiritual ear this morning, we'll go through this story and we'll glean such great treasures, such wonderful jewels, nuggets of gold. I mean, there's just some wonderful pieces of wisdom within this parable. So with that in mind, let's begin reading in verse number 16. Then said he unto him, a certain man made a great supper. Remember that, a great supper, and bade many, and sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden, come, for all things are now ready. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. So the servants came and showed his lord these things. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servant, Go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city, and bring in hither the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. And the Lord said unto the servant, Go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in, that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. And this morning we'll preach on this message, the great supper. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, as we go into your word this morning, that you will speak to our hearts. Help us, Lord, to properly divide the word of God. Now, Lord, I need your help this morning as the messenger. Please fill me with your spirit. Help me to say those things, Lord, that you would say if you were here. And help me to forget to say those things that just should not or ought not to be said. And Lord, we pray for those that hear, that we would have spiritual ears and an open heart to hear, Lord, this wonderful message. Lord, as we dissect this parable, in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. And you may be seated. This is a very simple parable, really a very simple story. It's something that Jesus told that I believe that everyone that heard him could relate to. And that's, I think, the genius of the teaching method of Jesus Christ. Amen. He always tried to bring the jelly and put it down on the bottom shelf where everybody could reach it. And what he would do was he would take great spiritual truths and he would package them in very simple stories and usually use a story that most anybody and everybody could relate to. There's not too many people in this room that haven't at some time gotten an invitation to go over to somebody else's house for supper. Now, isn't that pretty basic? Isn't that pretty simple? Brother and Mrs. Klein asked us last Sunday if I would come over. We're working on that website and a little bit. So he asked if we would come over and if I would bring Cheryl. And we went over to their house and ate supper with them last Tuesday night. Now, that just happened this week. I can relate to this. Some of you this week went over to somebody else's house for supper. Or in the last month, you have been invited by someone to come over to supper. And so that's something that we can all relate to. Now, there was a certain man, and he made a great supper. And he bade many. It's great. It means large. It means splendor, with much splendor. I mean, he put a lot of work into this. It was fully prepared. It was ready to go. He didn't invite just one person or one family. There was a whole list on that great invitation list. When the invitations were mailed out, the mailing list was quite long and large. He bought a lot of postage stamps. And probably this is back in the day when you had to lick the back of the postage stamps. And so he ended up having to lick a lot of stamps. And he sent out, some of these kids have no idea what I'm talking about. And they're going to go home and do that just to see what it tastes like. No, you don't have to anymore. But he mailed out a lot of invitations. He sent out a lot of invitations. But every single person, the Bible says, with one consent, which means every single person that he sent an invitation to, they sent back to him through his servant an excuse why they could not be there. And this angered this man. Now, you ladies, you would probably be upset too had you spent the entire day, or in a lot of cases sometimes for a giant meal, several days buying and preparing the food, and everybody that you invited came up with an excuse why they couldn't come. And so the Lord, or the master, was very angry, the Bible says, because of these excuses that began to come in. And so he turned around and sent his servant back out, and he with this instruction, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring in the hither and the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Now, that's very interesting. You know what this man said? He said, listen, I've went to a lot of work to prepare this food. And this is a great supper. And I want people to come. I want people to come and partake of this. I want them to enjoy what I have prepared with me. So he said, listen, if these folks are all so high and mighty, and they're all so busy, and they're all so important that they don't have time, then go find some people that will appreciate the invitation. Are you listening to me? Yeah, go find somebody that will appreciate the invitation. So go find somebody that's not so highfalutin that their schedule is all booked. Go find somebody that's not so all pompous and important that they have the audacity to make a bunch of silly, frivolous excuses as far as reasons why not to come join me. Now, he put in this list, he said, listen, you go out into the streets and the lanes of the city. Now, go to the poor. You know, a lot of times, it's just the way it is. A lot of times in society, rich people invite rich people to supper. And the people that get invited to these elaborate parties are the people that run in those circles. But there's a lot of people out there that are poor. And you know what? The greatest thing, listen, for a lot of these rich, highfalutin people, this was just one more invitation of a whole string of invitations that they had gotten and would get that entire year. But for this poor person, this may have been the only invitation to come to something of this magnitude in their entire year. No, in their entire life. And boy, they're going to be excited about it. And then he said, go to the maimed. Because a lot of times, the honest truth is, there's just people that are physically handicapped or physically disfigured. And, society's so cruel. It really is. Society's so hurtful. Society sometimes is so just tends to judge everything by what they see on the outward appearance. And they tend to try to avoid people like that. So I'm sure that these folks didn't get many invitations to come to some wonderful and great supper. And then he said, go to the halt. This would be somebody that was crippled. And again, have a physical handicap. And the blind. He said, you know what? There's a whole bunch of blind people that sit down on Main Street and they just beg for a few coins every day. I think if you invited them, they'd come. And you know what? That servant did that. And you know what? All those folks came, but there was still room. And then in verse 23, the Lord said this, go out into the highways and hedges and compel them to come in that my house may be filled. For I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. Now, you know what? I like this guy. He wasn't happy to have a half-full dining hall. He wanted the dining hall to be packed. He'd taken the time. The plates had been set. There were still tables that were empty, partially filled. And he wanted a full house. He wanted as many as he could get in there. He wanted to cram it full. And so... what did he do? He said, go out into the highways and hedges. What he said is this, let's widen our circle. I mean, we've covered the city here. Let's widen our circle. I mean, listen, if you have to take a little time, take a little time. But listen, let's go outside of the boundaries of Jasonville. Let's go outside into the highways and the byways. Let's go down the little gravel roads. Listen, go off the beaten pathways. Go to some really rundown places like Vicksburg and other places like that. Sorry about that. The Maoris aren't here. I don't have to worry about that. Go to some ghetto areas like Vicksburg and north of Jasonville. There's a bunch of hoodlums live out there and north of Jasonville. And go out there to some of these. Listen, go tell them we want them. I want them. I want them to be my honored guests. I want them to be my special guests. Listen, I've got to a great deal of trouble to prepare something here. And listen, if they come, they'll love it. And they'll be blessed by it. And they'll enjoy it. And I'll enjoy having them. And I'll get to meet them. And they'll get to meet me. And so here this man, he's prepared this great supper. And he wants people to come in. And he's not going to be happy until the place is crammed and packed and full. Now, folks, this parable, of course, carries with it a lot of wonderful, wonderful truths. Can we just kind of enjoy these truths? Can we open up this treasure chest, this parable that's like a treasure chest, and maybe one at a time take out a beautiful jewel of a Bible truth and hold it up against the light, let the light hit it and show all of its facets and all its beauty? Let me just give you a few things that we can look at this morning. Number one, folks, listen to me. The preparation has been made. The preparations are complete. A great supper has been prepared. Now, I think that that's significant. I think that he said in that verse there, a great supper, because Hebrews chapter 2, verse number 3 says this, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And this is what this is a picture of. You see, Jesus was come to earth to prepare something, and he was going to prepare it completely. And when it was completely prepared, he was going to send an invitation out for all those that would come and partake of what he had prepared. And what Jesus came and prepared was salvation for all mankind. Salvation for all mankind. Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. He prepared a great supper. And then it goes on to say he bade many. Now, salvation has been completely prepared and completely provided for each and every person here on earth. Say, how was that prepared? Well, Jesus Christ came and died on an old rugged cross for the sins of all of mankind. And then he was buried and he rose again the third day. This is the glorious gospel. Jesus Christ came to die for your sins, was buried, and rose again triumphant. And because he did those things, you can have eternal life. You see, somebody had to pay for your sin. Somebody had to pay for my sin. I couldn't pay for it. No matter how much good I did in my life, and no matter how hard I might try to make up from the sin in my life by trying to counterbalance that with good, not all the good in the world has the power to erase the bad. And we are all sinners before God. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. That's what the Bible says. For all have sinned. There's none righteous, no, not one. And see, we all have the same problem. We're all born into this world with the same horrible sin disease. And Jesus came, and he's the cure. And he came and died on Calvary's cross, was buried, and rose again for our sins. That's what's been prepared for us. Listen, folks, it's all prepared. You don't have to bring a covered dish in. Now, you know, sometimes you get invited to supper and you say, well, can I bring something? And they always say, no. Well, can I bring some desserts? Can I bring, you know, sometimes to be gracious, we'll say, well, if you'd like to, you can bring something. But you know what? You can't bring anything. You can't, on this supper, you can't bring anything. See, this whole matter of whether or not salvation is by grace or by works, you have to decide what you believe about that. But whatever you decide, let me share this with you. All eternity is based on what your decision is when it comes to grace or works. Let me have you go to Ephesians chapter number 2. Ephesians chapter number 2, because I want to have you look at this. I think this is important. Well, we can't say this enough. We can't say it too much. We can't say it long enough. I don't think we can say it loud enough. Salvation is by grace through faith. The grace of God which bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men. The only chance we have of being saved is because of the grace of Almighty God, the unmerited favor of God. Ephesians 2:8 says this, for by grace are you saved through faith. And then it goes on to be very specific, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And what the Bible's teaching here is that the grace of God, the unmerited favor of God, grace means that God is offering to us favor. He's offering to us forgiveness, not because we deserve it. Matter of fact, just the opposite. We do not deserve it. But he offers it to us anyway, and that's what grace is. Grace is God offering us favor and forgiveness simply because he is who he is, simply because he chooses to love us. Even though we're unlovely, even though we're sinners, Jesus said, I still like to extend to you my grace. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now folks, the grace of God is extended down to us. But every man, if he's going to be saved, has to decide to put your personal faith in what God has done, what Jesus has done on Calvary's cross. You see, when a man's faith, salvation, I like to say this, salvation is the delightful collision between the grace of God and the faith of a man. I like that, you know. God extends his grace, but you have to turn around and decide you're going to put your faith in that. Well, if I could just have somebody prove it to me, then it wouldn't be faith. It wouldn't be faith. Faith is choosing to believe even though you don't have proof. Jesus said, listen, I want you to trust me. I want you to have faith in me. I want you to put your faith in me. Not something just because the Bible says that I am who I am and I've done what I said I would do. Put your faith in that. Believe that. Choose to believe that. And if you choose to do that, then the Bible says you can be saved. For by grace are you saved through faith. Not of yourselves. You can't bring a covered dish. You can't say, well, I know that Jesus prepared most of it, but he needs me to bring this part of it. No, he has completely prepared salvation. He sent out an invitation, show up the door, empty-handed, and guess what? You can come in and partake of this great salvation that is provided for us. And so salvation's been provided. Go to John chapter number 14, if you will. And once you're saved, guess what? There's something else being prepared for you. Preparations are being made, folks. John chapter 14 and verse number 1. Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whether I go, you know, and the way you know. Thomas saith to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And their salvation is presented again. It's through Jesus. So Jesus not only came down and died on the cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. That's the gospel. But when he resurrected from the dead, he went to prepare a place for us. You know, preparations are being made. Preparations are being made. I mean, I think that if I went to anybody in this room, or I stood up here this morning and said, I've got a wonderful announcement to make. I've got a letter. I've got a surprise for somebody. And I begin to read this letter. And some contractor, some very, very well-known contractor wrote a letter and said, listen, I want you to surprise a family in your church. And I want you to let them know that I have purchased a piece of property. And I am building them the most beautiful home that is in Greene County. There will be no home more beautiful. Well, that's not saying. Let me see. There's no home more beautiful in all of Greene. Sorry about that. Some of you need to get a sense of humor. You really do, you know. I'm from here too, okay, all right? If you can't laugh at yourself, then you're just not going to be very happy in life, all right? But the most beautiful home in Greene County, it's being built, it's being prepared, and you know what? Listen, as soon as it's done, I'm going to come get them and move them into it. You know what? It's a shame that we'd be more excited about that than we are the fact that God in heaven is preparing us a mansion that we won't just get to live in for a few years until this whole body crumbles and rumbles and falls to the ground, but we'll be there for all eternity. That's why I like a King James Bible. I'd rather have a mansion than a room. Amen? And I don't get this stuff, man. Glory to God. There was no other reason I'm a King James person, just because I'd rather have a mansion than a room. I don't understand. I guess he's NIV people think he's building a motel or something. I don't know. They build a Motel 6, going to everybody a room, you know. We'll leave the light on for you or something, you know. So I don't get this. No, he's preparing a mansion for me. He's preparing a wonderful place for us to live up in heaven. Listen, folks, a great supper's been prepared. Now, the invitation's gone out. Did you see this? Let's go back to Luke chapter number 14, verse number 16. It says, and he bade many. He bade many. And sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were bidden. By the way, can I share this with you? I don't know if you ever noticed that little phrase or not, but isn't this something? You know, here it is. He sent out an invitation because it says in verse 16 that while he was making, or as he made a great supper, he bade many. And then he sent his servant at supper time to say to them that were already bidden. Am I reading that right? Were bidden, past tense. And so he had sent out the invitation, and what did they do? They procrastinated. I think supper time's here. He's looking out. Nobody's coming up. So he says to the servant, well, go out there and see what's going on. Man, it's time to eat. It's ready. Why aren't they coming? What is it about human? Listen, I talked to somebody the other day. What is it about us humans? We run from God and run from God and run from God and run from God and run from God. And then when we finally get saved, we spend the rest of our life saying, man, I wish I'd have done that sooner. Aren't we something? You know, I don't know what it is about us. We run away from the greatest thing that God's ever offered us. People say, well, you know what, Brother Jerry, I might get saved one of these days, you know, but I'd like to kind of live my life and do my thing. And maybe later on when I'm older, I'll get saved. I'll get born again then. I'm thinking to myself, good night. The supper's here. It's now. It's ready. God's prepared salvation. Today's the day of salvation. Now's the accepted time. But I just thought that was kind of interesting here. He had already sent the invitations out, and then he had to go have a servant chase them down, you see. And he says to them, come, for all things are now ready. Now, notice this, folks. The master, the Lord, he did not go to the people. He sent a servant. And let me just say this. I'm not going to preach on this, but let me just say this. Blessed Old Baptist Church, we have got to understand that the Lord Jesus Christ has commissioned us to go out to the highways and hedges and invite people and chase people. And whether or not they want to hear it, whether or not they give excuses, listen, we cannot stop running buses here at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We cannot stop knocking on doors at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We cannot stop going to nursing homes at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We cannot stop going into the jails at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. We cannot stop teen soul winning at Blessed Hope Baptist Church. Well, matter of fact, we've got to go harder and longer and farther. I believe the time is now. The supper's ready. We don't know how much longer we've got. We have got to get the word out. It falls on the shoulders of every single born-again Christian, the responsibility to be a servant that goes out and bids people to come. Well, Brother Jerry, boy, it's been so exciting. We've got to see people saved, and we've been able to see some folks get baptized. We're going to have another gentleman get baptized this morning. And listen, let me tell you, that's because folks are going out and saying, come. That's why it's happening, you know. And God blesses that. He blesses His plan. The servant's supposed to go forward with the message of the Master. And you know what, folks? It will work. It will work. So we've got to stay busy about doing that. Man alive, I've got so many good reports. We almost had a turned Wednesday night into a testimony meeting. Then I've got people coming up to me. We had Sister Angie Sagercy talking about leading a lady to the Lord at work on this past Monday. And Randy Beller came to me so excited about getting to win a lady to Jesus Christ at the nursing home services last Monday night. And then I got a note when I came back in last night on the information desk that two of our men on visitations on Saturday led two children to Jesus Christ. And let's see, who else was telling me? The jail ministry. He came in this morning. Brother Weddle came and said, hey, and Brother Klein was sharing it with me. They went over to the jail and got to see a couple people saved. By the way, I asked you to pray about the funeral, and we got to see two of Donna Arthur's older daughters receive Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. Listen, folks, this is exciting. Man, hey, taste and see that the Lord is good. I mean, just, hey, there's plenty of them out there. Just roll up your sleeves, go out there and get one, you know. You go out and work. Go out there and invite. Go out there and try to make an impact for the Lord Jesus Christ. You know why? Because that's the way the Lord set it up. He said to His servant, you go. He said to the servant, you go tell them, come, for all things are now ready. Now, we've got to spend a few minutes looking in the mirror a little bit. Yes, this is going to be a little painful. We are all guilty at times of giving the Lord excuses. Amen? Don't leave me up here by myself. We're all guilty at times of giving the Lord excuses. When we look at our BC days, our before Christ days, sometimes we think, my goodness sakes, I gave some of the silliest, craziest excuses for not coming to the Lord Jesus Christ that I could have ever done. And then even after we're saved, we fall into this trap sometimes of giving the Lord excuses. But look at these excuses. Can we just look at them for a few minutes? We won't take a lot of time, but notice verse 18. And they all with one consent began to make excuse. The first said unto him, I bought a piece of ground, and I must needs go and see it. I pray thee, have me excused. Another said, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. I pray thee, have me excused. And another said, I have married a wife, and therefore I cannot come. And can I just break this down? Let me just give you this little outline, and I won't develop it. But you know what? I think that the excuses come from 3 distinct areas in our life. There's 3 things that hold us back from doing a lot of times what we ought to do for the Lord. Number one, possessions. Possessions. I just bought this piece of land. Well, I would come to church, but I got a new fishing boat. I've got this hobby. I've got this thing here. I've got this thing here. I've got this thing here. And so, possessions. Number two, work. We use work sometimes as an excuse, not being faithful to God. Well, I would serve in the bus ministry, but you don't understand, I work so many hours. I would go visitation, but I work so many hours. I would get involved in the jail ministry, but I work so many hours. I work so many hours. Well, folks, hey, let me just share something with you. You're sitting in a church amongst a bunch of people that work a bunch of hours. I mean, it's almost like that. You know, they decided that they're the first ones that's ever... You know, we all work a lot of hours. Guess what? If anything's done at Blessed Hope Baptist Church, it's done by tired people. We're all working. We all work. You're not the only one that has a job. Everybody that's working in ministries has jobs. Oh, no, but my situation, your situation's no different than anybody else's. We all work hard. We all work a lot of hours. We all work. Listen, we're all stretched thin, but you know what? we still need to respond to what the Master's trying to call us to do. And I know everybody's area of service may be a little different, and I know not everybody has to do the exact same things, but everyone ought to be busy in some way for the Lord Jesus Christ, you see. And so possessions, then work, and then the last one is family. We sometimes use our family as an excuse not to serve the Lord. And by the way, let me just throw this out to you. You know, I would be scared to death to use my family as an excuse to not serve God, because maybe God would just take away your excuse. Are you listening to me? Maybe God will just take away your excuse. And so, you know what? I'll just let you have those three outlined. Now, the two things that hit me about these excuses were this. Let me give you the two things that really strike me. I know that they involve probably these three areas: possessions, work, and family. But here's the two things that strike me. Number one, these excuses were very selfish. Now, when I say that, let's look here at verse 18 and 19. I want you to just scan over those verses and look for how many times you find the word capital I. Do you see that? The first said, I have bought a piece of ground, and I must know, goes, I pray thee, have me excuse. I have bought, I go, I pray thee, have me, I have married a wife. Therefore, you see that? You know, folks, the honest truth is, excuses are selfish. You know, our little list of reasons not to serve God. You know, I'm just wondering how many reasons Jesus could have come up with for not coming down and dying for a bunch of scoundrels like us, you know. I bet he could come up with a lot more than they just came up with, and his would have been legitimate. But you know what? It says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, become obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Did you get that? And if Jesus can humble himself and become a servant, and come take the likeness of men, and even humble himself to die on an old rugged cross, I suppose, you know what? I could die to Jerry Ross. I could die to myself. I could lay aside my excuses and my selfishness and say, you know what? There's something bigger. There's something bigger than me. There's something bigger to live for than what I want or how I feel. There's something more noble than that, you see. And I think, first of all, I'm struck by the selfishness of these excuses. And the next thing I'm struck by is the silliness of these excuses. They're silly. You know what? Our excuses always sound pretty silly. Now, they sound silly to everybody but us. If you're giving me an excuse of why you can't serve the Lord, if I'm looking like I'm trying to restrain a laugh or a grin, it's probably because I'm thinking how silly your excuse is. Really, honestly. You say, are these excuses silly? The first said unto him, get this, I bought a piece of ground and I must needs go and see it. Man, I wish I could find that guy. I'd like to sell him some stuff. Now, anybody here ever went and bought a piece of property and not went and looked at it first to at least see what you were going to get? You see how silly it is? You know what? He got put on the spot. Hey, the supper's ready. Why don't you come? Oh, yeah. It was silly. Now, here's another one. He says, verse 19, I have bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I go to prove them. And that means to go try them out. That didn't say I'm thinking about buying them. I've already bought them. Now I'm going to go see if they're any good. Okay, now, Brother Tom, most people come test drive the car before they buy the car. You know, I mean, that makes a little sense here. You know, I'm just glad that the third person didn't say the same thing. I've married a wife, now I'm going to go look at her. I pray, please have me excused. Well, at least he took a look at her first. I'm glad to hear that. Now, folks, listen. Let me tell you something. Can you imagine when we stand before God one of these days, and we're get a picture. If you're saved, you know what? You don't have to worry about the great white throne judgment. You'll be in the presence of Christ. You'll be in that great host. You'll be standing behind the throne, not in front of the throne. But you can imagine people walking up before Christ that's been given, especially people in America, that have been given opportunity after opportunity after opportunity after opportunity to be saved. And Jesus Christ is going to sit there with those nail-scarred hands after all that he came and did on this earth to provide them a chance to be saved, and then to send his servants by. How many times in their lifetime? How many times in their lifetime? How many times did they flip on a radio and there's somebody on the Christian radio station? How many times did a family member who was saved come and plead with them to get saved? How many times did somebody hand them a gospel tract? How many times did a fellow worker at work share their testimony, try to witness to them or invite them to a church service? I mean, all through life, again and again, and they always had an excuse. They always had an excuse, and they're standing before Jesus. And Jesus is like, why didn't you come? I prepared everything. Why didn't you just come? And all the things that seem to make so much sense to us that we can rationalize when we look in the face of Jesus, we look at those nail-scarred hands, you know what? We're not going to be able to utter one reason, one excuse why we didn't just get saved. Just get saved. I get so frustrated sometimes. Brother Jonathan Reiser got me the other day, and he said there was an older couple that came by the church. I think he told you about this in Sunday school because I listened to the tape. He said there was an older couple came by the church looking for some copies of Ron Allen's book. And he said, I'm not sure that they're saved. And he said, let's go visit them. So we went out there to visit them and talked to a man that was 80 years old and getting ready. The week went there on a Friday. On the next Monday, he was going in for open heart surgery, and sat there and share the gospel with him and plead for him to get saved. And him just say, you know what, I'm pretty satisfied with the way I've lived my life. I'm pretty satisfied with where I'm at. And I just want to, I mean, I thought if I got on my knees and begged, would it make any difference? What do I need to do to get this man to understand that eternity's in the balance here? Eternity's in the balance here. I'm pretty satisfied with my life. I'm pretty satisfied with the way I've lived my life. I don't think I have anything to worry about. Oh, my goodness sakes, the haughtiness. I've lived such a righteous life that I can walk in the presence of a righteous God and be equal with him. I won't taint heaven at all because I've lived a righteous... My righteousness, it didn't fall short. It matched or exceeded the righteousness of Christ. No, it doesn't. No. My goodness sakes. I don't care how good a life you've tried to live, folks, for all sin comes short of the glory of God. Amen. Brother, we all need forgiveness. We all need the blood of Jesus to wash away our sins. You see, but I'm sitting there listening to this and my heart's breaking. I think to myself, good night. Good night. Boy, the devil can blind folks. The devil can so deceive folks. But you know what? I think we have to let him. I think we have to let him, you see. Now we see the reaction of the Lord, and we're wrapping this up in verse number 21. And you know, folks, I think it's good that we all be reminded of this. We've laughed and had a little fun with this, but the honest truth is, that when we make excuses to God, I think it makes the Lord angry. Then the master of the house, being angry, said to his servants, go out quickly into the streets and lanes of the city and bring them hither, the poor and the maimed and the halt and the blind. And the servant said, Lord, it is done as thou hast commanded, and yet there is room. Now, here, let me wrap this up and we're done. But look up here and don't miss what I'm about to say. Brother Jerry, I don't understand this. How come we can go out in the poorer neighborhoods and we can get people to come to church, but if we go over to the nicer neighborhoods, they won't even give you the time of day? By the way, we still have a responsibility to go to every neighborhood. There's not one area that we should not go to, and there's not one, listen, there's not. If for no other reason, just the fact that the blood's not on our hands. We've got to go give the gospel to every single person. That means, you know what? You ought to witness to your doctor. You ought to witness to your dentist. You ought to witness to... We ought to go after the professionals. And we ought to go to after the rich. We ought to, but let me tell you something, folks. Let me tell you something. It's just a fact. Jesus said the people that I approached first of all and that I bidden or asked first of all, why didn't they come? Yeah, Brother Jerry, why don't we have more middle, upper class people come and bless Hope Baptist Church? Why don't we have more? Let me tell you something. I'm not saying this across the board because some of the finest Christians in the world are middle, upper class people. But you know what? Sometimes we're just so self-sufficient that we don't think we need anybody or anything. And you go to somebody that knows that, and I know this is a spiritual lesson. It's not just talking about class here. It's a spiritual lesson. But you go somebody that's satisfied spiritually and don't think they have a need spiritually, and they will not respond to the invitation. But you go to some maimed person, you go to some halt person, you go to a blind person, you go to a poor person, you go to somebody whose life has been touched and altered and devastated by sin, and they know it. And they're a lot more open to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's just a fact of life. So, you know what? We ought to go everywhere, but you know what? Keep running the buses. Keep running the buses. Keep going. You know, sometimes a person who wasn't open their whole life will get in a nursing home, and God will humble them and break that pride and, you know what, bring them down to a point where all of a sudden they're finally ready to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ. As long as we think we're okay, we're not going to do anything about our condition. But you know what? Sometimes the Lord will do what he has to do to get somebody to understand just how much in need of Jesus Christ they are. And I love this. Compel them to come in. Go to the highways and hedges. Compel them to come in that my house may be filled. Well, Jerry, every time you come in, you say something about, boy, it looks good. Don't we have a good crowd? I don't see too many members of the Wood family. And I don't like seeing parts of the pews where there's wood. I like a bus captain that's not happy about having empty seats. Hasn't got satisfied about that yet. Still bothersome when they look up in the mirror or they look on the bus and there's empty seats. You say, is it all about numbers? No, it's all about souls. It's all about souls. That's what it's all about. I want to see God's house full because the more that come in, listen, that means that we'll start here. But if they don't come, then we'll spread out. And they don't come, we'll go even a bigger circle. Let's just keep going because somewhere out there, there's somebody that realizes they have a need. There's somebody when they get this invitation is going to say, glory to God, hallelujah. That's for me. This is for me. You mean I'm invited? You mean I can come to this? Really? I really can? Instead of, you know what, I'd sure like to help you, but man, I'm busy this week. Matter of fact, I'm busy every week. You don't understand how busy. I work hard and I've got this to do and I got this hobby and I got this. You know what? Just keep looking because somewhere there's somebody that's behind one of these doors out here on one of these little country roads that's sitting there thinking to themselves, man, I'd love to one time get an invitation to something special. And you know what? That invitation, what more special thing is there than the fact that Jesus Christ has prepared a great salvation for us? And so let's just keep going after souls. Amen, blessed hope. Let's just keep going after souls. Let's bow our head and close our eyes. And in just a minute, we're going to have a gospel invitation. And if you're here and you've never received Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, yes, it's for you. It's just not for a bus kid. It's just not for a rescue mission man. It's just not for an alcoholic or a prostitute. It's not just for somebody from a broken home. It's not somebody that's a drug addict. It's not just for somebody that's in jail. Salvation is for every single person. We all are in the same boat. We're all in the same boat. And we all need to be saved. And the last verse here says, for I say unto you that none of those men which were bidden shall taste of my supper. You know what? It's a dangerous thing to refuse the invitation. It really is. You know, if the Lord's calling you and speaking to your heart this morning and telling you to be saved, you ought to respond to that invitation because it is a dangerous thing. It's a big thing to refuse an opportunity to be saved. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless our time of invitation. And Lord, my heart's rejoiced. Lord, as I thought back at how patient you have been with me, not only in seeing to it that I got a chance to be saved, but then after that, even in my Christian life, Lord, how you've helped me to take steps forward. And Lord, forgive me for the times I've just made excuses, silly, selfish excuses. And I pray, Lord, that you'll help me not to do that in the future. Help me to be open-hearted to this matter of serving you and doing whatever you would direct me to do. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.